Well, we're looking into our teaching again. This is, you know, going on actually a lot longer than I thought it was going to, but we're dealing with the subject of creation and judgment, redemption, and perfection. And we're looking, getting over to the side, dealing with the areas of perfection, what's to come. It's one of the things is people need to get in their mind. We talk about the will of God, but many times, and even from a scriptural standpoint, God tells us in the scriptures His will, but the majority of the time His will's not going on. It's not happening. And people talk about things. The book of Revelation is not the will of God. It's what happened because of the will of men. It's not the will of God. And see, people say, well, God wants, like He wanted to do this. No, He didn't. God wants to redeem everybody. God wants, that's God's plan, but man follows his own plan. So we understand that these things, it's one of the things that, like Norval Hayes talked about, you know, he said, you know, he was talking about ministering. People said, God wants to heal everybody. He said, everybody don't get healed. But he said, it's not because God didn't want him healed. He said, God wants to bless everybody. He said, he was talking about things God wants to do for people, but he can't do for people. And it's up to people, but it's not about God. It's always God's will to bless. Always. That's his will. It's to bless. It's never not to bless. Somebody might do something they can't get blessed, but it wasn't because it was God's will. You know, so the person comes in contact with, and this is what we're dealing with here, are some things that we're looking at. One of the things we were dealt with the last time, and I'm just going to reiterate back to the Revelation of the 20th chapter, because of the things entering into the what we call the millennial reign of Christ. We dealt with the fact of Jesus. We looked at the fact as Jesus Christ returned, his destruction of the armies of all the nations that come together out there trying to destroy him. And what deception people can get under. And this is, you know, if people can be deceived to think that they can fight God, we should not be surprised what people get deceived into today to believe. You know, it shouldn't be no biggie to us. I mean, those people know Jesus Christ is coming back, and the Satan has deceived them into thinking they can get enough armies together to beat God. Now, to us, that sounds ridiculous. But they believe they could do it. They actually believe they could do it. And it's the same today. People get deceived into things, and they do stuff. And you know, we sit around and say, how can a person do that? You get deceived. And it is amazing. Deception comes, and that's why you don't want... Jesus said to Kenneth Hagin, if you follow the Word, the Spirit, and Him, you'll not never be deceived. That's what He said, you won't get deceived. It's when people leave that. The number one thing people first leave, they leave the Word. And if you leave the Word, the Spirit's going to have a hard time dealing with you. and the Holy Spirit's the one that takes what belongs to Jesus and shows it to us. So you can't very well follow Jesus. So always stay close to the Word of God. Keep yourself close to the Word. And because the Holy Spirit will always lead you in line with this. Now, in the 20th chapter, I'm just going to briefly go over some of the things we talked about here. It started off in the 20th chapter, and he said, I saw thrones and they that sat on them. Judgment was committed to them. He said, then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the witness to Jesus and for the Word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their forehead or on their hand, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. And we talked the last time about in this resurrection, there's a resurrection that takes place here. These ones again live. And it goes on to say, verse 5, but the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. He said, this is the first resurrection. We need to understand what it's talking about. This is the first resurrection. It's not dealing with the resurrection of the church. The church age had already been completed. The church age is done. Is number one, we don't find Paul talked about the church being taken, and he told how that was going to happen. The dead in Christ were going to rise first, the people that were alive and remaining. Here, this resurrection is only the beheaded. In fact, the ones, and understand this, there are going to be, at this time, there are in the earth, there'll be people who didn't receive the mark of the beast who are still alive. Because we know there's Jews and stuff still alive that had not received the mark of the beast. So, there are people who didn't receive the mark of the beast, and they are still alive, and these people are resurrected. And it's one thing, I don't read into it. It's like this resurrection, it doesn't talk about these resurrect, their resurrection concerning eternal life, and they have a glorified body. It don't say that. It said they're going to reign for 1,000 years. The church is going to reign with the Lord forever. This says at this time, this resurrection has to do with the millennium and their reign during the millennium. God will deal with the rest of it after the millennium. But up the millennium. So don't read things into Scripture. So many people, they say, well, you know, it means this or that. No, if it don't say it, anything beyond is speculation. Don't speculate it. You know, it just says they're going to reign for 1,000 years. Doesn't tell us that they're going to have glorified bodies. And we know this. So there's people who died, who may have not received the mark of the beast, who died not from being beheaded. They could have died for some other reason because all the other junk going on the earth and the plagues and the things happening and all this going on, they could have died. But they're not going to be resurrected. The ones who are resurrected, it says here, the ones who were beheaded. That's it. So there's ones that will be resurrected later on, that they will be raised from the dead later on. So there's going to be another resurrection. Now, one of the things that it said here in the beginning, and I didn't talk about the last time, but it says that at this time he saw thrones and they who sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Do people think about what is this judgment? Because this is not the white throne judgment. This is a judgment at the beginning of the millennium. The judgment at the beginning of the millennium is the judgment of the nations. Jesus talked about the judgment of the nation. They're going to be judged on how they treated Israel. Jesus said, he's going to do it. If you've done this to the least of my brethren, you've done it to me. See, people turn around and take that as like, you know, God's going to be judging people, you know, generally like, no, it's not. This is specific. Jesus was talking about that judgment. That judgment will take place, and this is the judgment of the nations. Now, we found out from this is we found from Scripture, and Paul said about it. He asked the church, he said, at Corinth, he said, don't you know that you're going to judge nation and you'll judge the angels? Who's going to be judging the nation? See, people don't realize the church is going to be judging the nations and what they did. And I'm sure it's not going to be a lot of the people they call church today, I'm sure. You know, they're as heathen as they get. It's number one. I don't think people who don't like Israel are going to be in this thing of judging Christians. And there's a lot of Christians that are against Israel. You know, they call themselves Christians. I don't know what they are. But anyhow. But so we see here, there's a judgment that's going to take place at that time. And the nations are going to be judged. It's like we found out what the Scripture says. You know, that what people call the wonderful time they're going to have in the millennium, everything's going to go perfect. It's not. It's not going to go perfect. The millennium isn't going to be some great perfect time because Jesus is going to rule, and the church is with him, with a rod of iron. You don't rule with a rod of iron because everybody's so compliant. Now, definitely troublemakers will get dealt with quickly in the millennium. You want to think about it. The millennium rule is not going to be a rule of mercy. You get out of line, you're going to get back in line quick. Why? It's going to rule with a rod of iron. It's not going to be, it is going to be grace time. Grace time is the church age. Grace time is the church age. This is the time that God is showing all his mercy to mankind. And that's not going to last forever. That's not going to last. That's not going to last. When we come along and come to the land, that's not what it is going to be. Wonderful grace. It's going to be rule of law. And that's definitely going to be hard on people, that's for one thing. Now, we found in this thing, because of, look, as we're reading at it, we found that it did talk about, which we will, where Satan was bound 1,000 years. We looked at the at Isaiah, in the 65th chapter, was one of them we look at. And I just want to say again here, because Isaiah told us what things would be like. And so we get an idea. In Isaiah 65 and verse 17 says, "Behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth." And he said, "And the former shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in which I created. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying." He says, "No more shall any infant from there live but a few days." In other words, we find it's during the millennium, because the extension of life. One of the things that the curse is going to be broken is no one has ever lived over 1,000 years. When it does. And when the curse is broken, during the millennium, people are going to live over 1,000 years. There are going to be people who are going to be entering the millennium, and they will live through the entire millennium in which they would be over 1,000 years old. And that'll take place. That's never happened on the earth. And in other words, people are going to actually live one day with the Lord. Yeah, with the Lord is 1,000 years. They're going to actually live out a day. Anyhow, so it says a child shall die 100 years old. In other words, at 100 years old, if a child dies, that's still considered a child during the millennium. It says, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. In other words, at that time, there's going to be people. Understand, in the millennium, there's going to be people who have the sin nature. People with the sin nature. They have not been born again. They have the sin nature. Because Satan has been bound doesn't mean people are going to live right. Man still has will. We talked about last week. Did Satan have somebody in heaven tempting him or doing something causing him to live bad? And what did he do? He was living in perfection and sinned. We need to get this. See, we this whole idea that, well, we take Satan out of the picture, people just become wonderful. Well, the Bible don't teach it, so I ain't teaching it either. So anyhow, well, it says what's going to happen during the millennium. It says they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat from them. It says they shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall the days of my people and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Now, he said, as the days of a tree. See, a tree lives a long time, doesn't it? In other words, the length of the people. He's talking about his people here. He is talking about the Jews. The Jews are going to be the ones ruling. They're going to be the nation in charge of the nations over the earth. They're going to be, and the church and whatever is going to be backing them up. This is the whole thing about them and the earth. This is the time. The millennial reign is about the rule of Israel over the earth promised by God. And they're going to hold all the land and everything that God initially gave them, the whole thing. Well, it goes on and said that, you know, they shall not labor in vain or bring forth children for trouble. There shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord and their offspring with them. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. And then it says, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. We showed three different scriptures. I've showed you this. It says, in my holy mountain. The lions ain't going to be laying down with the lamb every place. It's not going to be going on. It's in his holy mountain. The holy mountain is in Jerusalem. At Jerusalem, where the temple, where Jesus is ruling, reign, there in Israel, that's going to be different than the rest of the world. Because we read about what's going to happen. The rest of the nations have to come up every year to Jerusalem. They got to come up. And if they don't come up, there's a curse on them. No rain on their land. Now, they wouldn't pronounce and say there was going to be a curse if it wasn't going to happen to nobody. It's going to happen. So, I'm sure that you're going to have people are going to be aggravated because those Jews are doing so good up there. You're going to have it. I'm going to tell you what. You're just going to, you know. I see that in the church world. I see somebody get blessed and somebody thinks they don't deserve to be blessed and they get upset because this person, you know. I've heard people get upset because somebody got healed. Why did they get healed and I didn't? Well, you just told me why, you knucklehead. You didn't get excited that they did, you moron. You should have been rejoicing that they got something. But your lousy attitude is keeping you sick. You should get excited when somebody else gets blessed. Hallelujah. And see, people don't. They get all grumpy and, Well, I don't think they should have had it.
Yeah, like you should with that attitude.
That's what I mean. There's people, you know, it's like we live in a nation today and somebody gets wealthy, gets rich, and the first thing they do, and even Christians do it, well, they shouldn't have so much money. We ought to give it to the poor. Well, see, let's take your stuff and give it to the poor. Oh, that's another story. No. I don't have a lot. Well, you should be giving up what you got then. No matter if you have a lot, go give it up. When you give yours up, then you go after his if you want to. They ain't going to do that, so you don't go after the other guys, you know. But people get upset about it. They think about it, and what it has is they're covetous. They're covetous is what they are. And covetousness is idolatry. You ain't going to get nowhere with God worshiping stuff. Worshiping somebody else's stuff especially. Wanting somebody else's stuff. Well, we're going to go over now, and we're going to look here again back into Revelation, the 20th chapter, because it goes on to there talking about, we had talked about the fact with Satan in chapter 20. Satan, it says, now when the 1,000 years have expired concerning Satan, it says he will be released from his prison. So Satan was bound for 1,000 years, and he's going to be released from his prison. It said, and what will he go out? He'll go out and deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sands of the sea. Now just think about this. This number. Here we are living, you know, Jesus Christ is ruling and reigning. This is God on the earth, down here ruling and reigning, and Satan goes out and gets knuckleheads all over again. They're going to go beat up God. And you need to understand this. You get away from God and don't walk with God, and you can end up as deceived as they are. This isn't just some group. There is so many deceived Christians today. So many. I'm going to tell you, there's more deceived ones than ones walking with it. If you don't follow God closely, you've got to follow. If this can, now look at this. I mean, Jesus Christ is going to be living in the earth. And there's going to be all this glorified church people walking around with eternal life. Walking around. People who can operate in the physical realm and the spiritual realm. They can. And this is going to be on. I mean, we aren't talking 20 people doing this. We're talking millions and millions and millions and millions all over the earth. They're going to be all over the earth. The church. Satan comes along and deceives these idiots to think they can take over. He's going to do it. Like they ain't heard the message of what happened before the 1,000 years. See, people never learn from history. Never learn from history. People never learn from their own mistakes. They usually never learn from their own. They'll go repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. They don't. People just keep doing it over. You got to walk close to God or you get to be a nut. And really, you get lined up. I mean, like these people, just think about it. They go out. Now, these terms, Gog and Magog. Now, Gog is mentioned in Ezekiel. We haven't, you know, I didn't go over and teach in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 38 and 39 talk about a war there. I don't know. I haven't. If the Lord leads, I mean, I had planned on ending this tonight, but if the Lord leads, I will go over and talk about that. I'm not sure if he's going or not. But anyhow, Gog and Magog, we find them mentioned in Ezekiel 38. Now, Gog, the other names, and you go through the things, especially going to Ezekiel, the names of the other mentioned people in there, they were all mentioned people in if you go back in the Old Testament, and they're mentioned back in, like Magog was a grandson of Noah, and he settled up in today what we call the areas of Russia. He'd have been up into that area, into those areas. And there's other ones that are mentioned over. It's really one of the it mentions a number of different names. The ones who were in the area and settled the areas of where Turkey is today and that stuff. But if you look in areas like Gomer and all these different ones, North Africa, we're seeing the alignments of these nations today. They're all Muslim nations. And they don't like Israel. All of them are Muslim nations. And if you look and you follow this thing, and the Russians have really been big in sort of back in the Muslim. They have trouble with Muslims in their own nation, but they're still, because why? They can cause trouble, you know. You know, they can cause trouble. The leadership of Russia is, they're following the devil, and they will keep following them. They're, you know, it seems to be a pattern, and they're going to follow them because Gog and Magog are mentioned at the end. In other words, their descendants are going to do the same thing all over again. They're going to follow Gog. Now, this Gog, now I've heard mention, and I don't know if it's so or not, but they mentioned the fact that Gog could be a demonic spirit or somebody who is, like, say, under the leadership as a spirit. Because sometimes, like we have in, like with Daniel, like the prince of Persia was mentioned. The prince of Persia was a spirit being who dominated that nation. Well, if you go over in Ezekiel 38, Gog is mentioned as a prince. Could very well be a spirit being that dominates that government, dominates and rules it. Just like Jesus, if we look over in the book of Revelation, Jesus has an angel. You know that. See, Jesus' angel, which is through the scripture, talks about, he has an angel who represents him. Scripture teaches it. And in the book of Revelation, talks about him. He sent his angel. Jesus said he sent his angel to talk to John. He sent his angel. There's one that he has personally he sends to talk to. So there's one who he has that represents him. And it wouldn't be surprising that Lucifer would have the same type of thing of going on. It could be. Because we don't find Gog mentioned other than in these areas in Scripture. There's nobody was named Gog. And, you know, that sounds Gog. Don't that sound like one of these names out of one of these creepy things, you know, they got today, you know, some demon, you know. What's his name? Gog. This is Gog over here. He's the guy with the big nose and a wart in his head. Yeah, it's Gog. And so Gog's is going to get them to gather together to battle. Satan is going to be released, and he is now. They don't give us a whole lot of detail about this, but he just tells us what's going to happen. Just basically, we get just a small rundown. You don't. Well, if God wanted to give us more revelation, he will. But you know, I hear people and they write talk about a lot of these things, and it's like, just take what the Bible says. You know, the Bible tells us generally what's going to happen there. And look, this thing's got, we have enough of how it happened before, and I can just tell you, it's going to be the same scenario. It's just going to be the same thing all over again. History will repeat itself. History will repeat itself. It will, because people will do the same things that they did before, which has to cause it to do the same thing again. You have the same results. So people say about history, like it's some big thing that history repeats itself. God constantly repeats himself. If you follow God and you do things well, you'll find out the patterns that God has for how he moves is the same all the time. And any group of people at any time within history have followed what God's pattern, it's always turned out to the same thing. It's always the same. See, today they say, well, it's different today. Yes, that's the deception of devil to make people think that it's different so you don't follow those certain ways of God. We don't have to do that. But we're going to get a good result. And how does it turn out? That deception comes. No, there's patterns to everything. You know, whatever we sow, we reap. That's the pattern. Do you know that isn't for sinners? That's for saints too. It follows in both, is identical. It's not for one group or the other. It's very simple. Whatever you sow, you end up reaping. I mean, that's just, we look in the earth, that's a natural way it is. A farmer doesn't go out here and plant soybean and end up with a corn crop. It doesn't happen that way. Well, it's just the same way. What we sow, we end up reaping. Sometimes people sow things and they get things back they wish they won to God. But you know, that's why is learning to operate this. So Satan's going to come on. He's going to deceive these people. This nation's going to rise up. In other words, it says he's this Gog and Magog. In other words, he's going to get all of these ones. He said from the four corners of the earth. He said to gather together to battle, whose numbers is at the sands of the sea. I mean, this is going to be a huge portion of the people who have lived through the millennium. So, it says, they went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints, the beloved city. Well, what's the beloved city? It's Jerusalem. Now they come up again. Here it is, Jerusalem again, and the knuckleheads come around round two. They come up, they're going to go. they're going to attack. They're going to attack here. They're going to make this work too. So they surround the boats, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So that was didn't turn out well, but you know, that's the way it went. Now, just sort of as a reminder, we talked about really the thing here. I want to, because I started at 7 down through, yeah, we read down through 10. We want to pick up on I'm going to go over to keep continuing there on 11. Let's just continue there. It says, he said, then I saw a white throne. Now, after this took place, there was a white throne, and he said, who has sat on it? From whose face the earth had fled away, and there was found no place for them. And he said, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open. And it says, another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Now, here in these deads, we're talking about they're going to be judged. They come before this throne. They're going to be judged according to works. Now, here in dealing with this, and so books were opened concerning their works, and he's going to deal with this dead. Now, we don't have here, it doesn't tell us, this seems to be all the dead are coming, ones who have died. So, understand, the church isn't involved. The church has already been taken. The church has already been. There's Jews here that are alive. They're the ones that are still alive in the earth. The rest of those crazy people that got their armies together to do things. That didn't work out well. But I want you to see something here. They're judged according to their works. Then he says this, because remember we said the first resurrection. We need to understand these people are going to stand before him. These are resurrected people. See, we have the idea, huh? Well, here it tells us who they are. If we read the next verse, it'll tell us. It says, then death and Hades, it says, death and Hades were cast alive in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And it says, just a minute, and anyone not found written in the book, they were cast there. Now, let's see, in chapter, maybe, let me go back here to this, where it says, I want to find that. Now, in verse 13, it says, we passed that, it says, the sea gave up their dead. Now, I want you to listen to this, what it says, because this is interesting. 13 says, the sea gave up the dead who were in it. He says, death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. So, the sea gave up dead. Now, I want you to think about this, because we talk about death and Hades. Well, with the people in the ocean, they die, their spirits just hang out there somewhere in the ocean. See, this is a resurrection. It's talking about the bodies of people being resurrected in the earth. See, these ones that died in the ocean, their bodies are going to be resurrected. Their bodies, because it says the dead, the ocean's going to give up its dead. See, the Antichrist and the beast were both thrown alive in the lake of fire with bodies. And we're going to find here, this is dealing, because we had read before, it talked about the first resurrection was the ones that were beheaded. He said, that's the first resurrection, then there must be a resurrection. This is the only other time there's a judgment. So this has to be a resurrection. People are going to be resurrected in physical bodies to stand before the throne of God. Because they're going to be judged as God would judge what they did in their bodies while they were here. They're going to be judged accordingly what they did. So there's a resurrection here to this. Now, he tells us down here they're going to be judged on their works, what they did. This is called the second death. The lake of fire is called the second death. People are going to be judged and put in the lake of fire. That's the second death. And understand, he's not talking about physical death. This is eternal death. It's eternally death. When dealing in these things, is not talking about anything physical. It's separation from God. Men will be, those people put into the lake of fire will be eternally separated from God. They will never have any fellowship with God. I want you to think about this. They'll have no fellowship with God. They'll never experience anything of love or compassion or anything like that. That's God's side. That's God's thing. People who go there, You talk about torment, there will be no... People say, I ought to go to hell with my buddies and go to hell with my buddies. And no, you're not. You will not have a buddy there. There will not be a friend. There will not be a husband and wife who love each other and like each other in hell. There will be none of that. There will be no love there. No one will like anybody. The only reason anybody would do any good is because of God's influence in the earth. You remove God from it, Satan's kingdom has no love or nothing good. And so... this is one of the things that it's eternal. This is not for a 20-year sentence or anything. This goes on, that person is in that state for eternity. It just goes on and never stops. It never quits. See, it's hard for us to understand. Well, see, I can understand why Christianity today, who most Christians live like hell, why they want to have this, God loves everybody, we're all right, we're all going to heaven. They sure want to preach that. You don't want to preach this. You're going to live like hell and then say, hey, man, you know, yeah, this is what's going to happen to me. They're going to preach that. See, the deception that's in the church today, people are deceived, you know. If I say God loves a certain way, He does, no matter what the Bible says. Now, here the Bible tells us what people are going to end up, how they're going to end up. We know there's, just from Armageddon and from the last battle, we know there's going to be a bunch of people there alone in those. And how many more have not accepted Christ over the centuries? So they're going to be, they will be in this place of torment forever. So, and whoever has died up to this point, it seems, would come back. They would be judged. You know, so maybe there's ones that don't go off to heaven. Ones aren't judged according to that. But there's going to be, the ones that are left are going to be judged. This is totally different than the church and the church being taken. This is why when people, you know, this is why you got to compare scripture with scripture. And people get these ideas, they see certain words, well then this is everybody and everything. No, it's not. Lots of times people don't, they add stuff, they take away from. And we want to make sure we don't do that. You don't want to add to, take away from. It's number one, we don't want to come up with a scenario. There's certain things I've been praying and seeking God about. I've been asking some questions about some stuff because people teach certain things and most believers and even most spirit-filled good Christians believe certain things. But I cannot find any place in Scripture that says it. But most everybody believes it. And I'm asking the Lord, you know, it may be right what they believe, but I say it doesn't do any good. If it isn't in the Scripture, you haven't got a Scripture to back up. Where do you stand on? I said, Lord, I want to know where Scripture teaches what they're saying. I want to know what this says because they're all teaching. They all teach certain things. And I said, Lord, I cannot find it in Scripture. I can't find it. And I said, I've never heard them ever give a Scripture. They just, people say it. And it's sort of one of these things God loves, you know. Yeah, well, we can't go. I have to see me. I'm just a sticker. I got to see Scripture that says it, because it bothers me if it don't. I want to know. So I want it to be true. But I'm asking God. I've been asking the Lord. Lord, you know, I'm going through this stuff and there's things He's been revealing to me. But there's things about the end times. I sure want to know some things because what people are saying, what's going on. People don't have Scripture, they're just throwing it out there. They're talking about people going, people getting caught away, they're saying different things. And saying, I'm sorry, the Bible doesn't specifically say it, and I haven't found it. That don't mean it isn't in there, but they haven't found it either. They're just repeating it. And I want Scripture on it. Faith comes by hearing the Word. I can't believe it. It's so, and it troubles me. There are certain things that trouble me, because I want to know how certain things are going to turn out concerning things, and I think it's important to find out. But I want Lord to show me. I'm sure I don't know everything about the Bible, so I'm sure that could easily be there, and I don't see it. But I've had nobody ever say what the Scriptures that they found to me. you know, because people always just throw things out there. Lots of times, you know, they just assume that God, you know. The Bible will say a certain thing, and they'll say, yeah, we know, God expects you to do that. But if a person don't, he understands and he knows, we'll say, oh, can you show me a Scripture for that? Could you please show me the Scripture that says that? And if you can't, then there's no basis of believing that would ever be true. You know, and so I want to find some few things out. Now, we find out that after this thing's over and this judgment takes place, then we see now, which enters in what we would call the Lord told me, because the Lord gave me this thing here, this, I asked him about a title for this, and he gave me a title for this. And see, what it ends up is perfection. Now, we're going to enter in. What happens is we enter in a time, really, where the perfect will of God is going to take place for eternity. Oh, my God. What we had to go through to get to this. How about it? What we had to go through to arrive at this. Hallelujah. Well, God said, dear Lord, man has made a mess. Man's done a kind of thing. But God, you know, God has a plan of his perfection. And we find out in Revelation 21, it says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. He said, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. Also, there was no more sea. So this new earth, there's not a sea on it. I want you to get this because, see, some people have this idea. They think the new heaven and new earth is just a spiritual place. It is not. It is a spiritual, physical place. Jesus has a physical body. The church will have physical bodies. It's a place that will be physical just as it is spiritual. It's what Jesus did. Jesus united the physical realm and the spirit realm. That's what he did. He united the two. And so that's why when you and I, when we receive our resurrection, we're receiving our full redemption, which is to get a physically glorified body. A physical glorified body. In other words, it's spiritual, it's physical body, but it is a sanctified body. It's, you don't have the problems with it. Devil can't tempt it. That, all that kind of stuff. And so, which, boy, I can't wait till we get that one. Hallelujah. That'll be a nice one. And but it says that here, so on this new earth, there's not going to be a sea. I want you to think about that. We live on an earth, but really, the size of it is, most of it's water. Don't have land mass. I mean, we got a lot of underwater planet. Huge underwater. Well, it's number one, it's because we're going to find out. It's number one, the capital city of this new planet is enormous. And see, people get overthinking the natural and they say, well, how big this is sitting on this new earth, it would make it lopsided. You know, this is Christians sitting around thinking this nutty stuff. Like, we're going to be living in a marble. You know, it's like, wake up, you bunch of stupid idiots. You know, they get in their little pea mind and start thinking up all kind of dumb stuff. Read what the Bible says. You know, dear Lord. God said, and we're going to find out about this. He said, about this place. Hallelujah. And it says then, this was John. John said, then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. Do you see this here? When people say God, you know, and they talk about, you know, heaven. This is the point where God says there's no more tears. This is the point. It's when we go to the perfection side. Still ain't here. You go to the perfection side, that's when it'll happen. Until we do, there's always people deceived doing crazy things that'll make you want to cry. That'll just, you know, there's always gonna be there. So God will wipe away tears from their eyes. It says, there shall what? No more death. There's no more sorrow, no more crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. So we enter into this new place. This new is perfection. Eternal life is just, it's the rage. It's the thing that everybody got. It's the thing you have. It's called eternal life. And in eternal life, there is no sickness. There's no none of those kind of things. There's none of that. And that's what we're going to be living in. It's a place of perfection. Well, the wonderful thing about it is this. We men have this ideas about us going to God, but really, the new heaven and new earth is about God being with man. God wants to be with man. We have this idea, and this is where the church really doesn't understand the love of God. God's great desire is to be with us. We think we should have this great desire to be with him. We don't understand his overwhelming desire to be with us. Perfection in the universe will be, in the new universe, the perfection will be God's living with man. That's the perfection. God's going to come and live with man. Just think with Adam. He put Adam down. What did he do? He came down to visit Adam. He didn't take Adam up to visit him. He'd come down in the cool of day to walk with Adam. God wanted to walk with Adam. God's always been that way. See, people always get a hard time getting a hold of God. It ain't a hard time getting a hold of God. It's what happens. It's the dumb thinking we have. And it blocks us lots of times in our own thinking and our own minds about God and His response to us. I'm sure we'd hear a lot more if we thought right. Get the ideas. God wants to be with man. Hallelujah. Okay. It says, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them, and be their God. Hallelujah. And God will wipe away all the tears from the eyes. Praise God. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. So everything's going to be new. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory. It's interesting because we're not going to have any revamped or restored. That's why when people get over and think about this, they think about, you know, the earth. I heard people say the earth's going to be renewed. No, it's not. The earth is not going to be. The earth ain't even going to be renewed during the time of the tribulation. During the tribulation period, we could go over and show you scripture where Israel's going to be doing some cleanup job of what some of the things that happened. And it's not going to be like people think. This is a new heaven and a new earth. It's not going to be the same. There's nothing. You know, God is not going to put us on this dirty hole back here of imperfection. He's going to set us in a new place that is 100% perfected, and it'll stay in that condition for eternity. Can you imagine? You and I will be perfected eternally. We're not going to be knuckleheads anymore. My. That is just... You talk about wonderful. Woo! We ought to get excited about that. Hallelujah! It won't be dumb and dumber anymore. Hallelujah! Glory to God. And he went on to say, verse 6, and he said, it is done. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life free to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's the second death. Now, I'm not going to go on through this, but the scripture goes on to tell us about the New Jerusalem, what it looks like. It's coming down. Now, it's not a cube. Sometimes people put it's a cube. Number one, it has a wall around it, so it can't be a cube. It has a wall cube. They talk about its height. And I will tell you what its height is. The height is where the throne of God is. Now, I want you to think about this. People say it's anywhere like 1,300. They say 1,500 miles long, wide, all that. 1,500 miles high. Now, I want you to think about that sitting on there. Can you imagine? This is a city. This is the city of God. This is where God lives. This is where He's enthroned. And it's going to come and sit in this city. Now, this is the city of the saints. This is a city that He made for us. And it talks about it. It has 12 gates to it. Now, see, people don't like the Jews are going to have a tough time because the gates are named after the tribes of Israel. They're going to have a hard time about that. But this glorious city. And, you know, the wall around it and that stuff, you know, deals with the disciples. The foundations are going to be from the 12 names. And it's really interesting because I've heard... ministers say that the disciples missed it when they added a disciple to take Judas's place. And no, they didn't, because there's 12 foundations of the disciples, and Judas ain't going to be one of the names of the foundation on the wall, I'll guarantee you. He ain't going to be one of them. He didn't. See, you know, there's too many people think about too much stuff, and they, you know, think they're too spiritual. You know, if God couldn't have made that thing work, you know, they picked someone for the purpose. The 12 apostles of the Lamb, they were a certain people had to be to qualify to be a disciple. Some said that, I've heard one say, Ken Copeland said, oh, they were supposed to pick Apostle Paul. Well, no, they couldn't pick Paul. Paul never walked with Jesus. Paul didn't live with him. Paul didn't see him died, and Paul didn't see him after he was raised from the dead. Paul saw him in a vision. Paul did not qualify to be apostle. The whole purpose of the apostle, the 12 apostles, was this. They were people who actually saw him, touched him, walked with him. They were eyewitnesses of him. I don't qualify for that. I've had visions, I've had things, but I've never walked with him. I didn't see him die. I didn't get no boats with him. I didn't do any of that kind of stuff. I didn't walk around listening to his teaching, and that kind of stuff. Those guys qualified. They were in the earth for that purpose. And that's why when we look at writings concerning things, it's like John writes, when John writes, he writes as, from the standpoint as an apostle, this is what he saw, he knew of Jesus. He's portraying to us exactly what he knew he walked with and who he saw. And that's very important, is understanding that these guys are eyewitnesses. And so people say today, maybe they didn't see him. Well, hold it. In a court of law, the guys who ever eyewitness, if you're an eyewitness to something, then you are eligible to testify. The whole thing of it is, we have lots of people who are not eligible to testify a thing about Jesus, but those guys, I can believe them because they were actually eyewitnesses who wrote about him. These are eyewitnesses. So I'm not taking hearsay. I can actually go and read things that men wrote who were eyewitnesses of Jesus. They walked with him. They lived with him. They knew him. And they were eyewitnesses. When I read the Gospels are written by eyewitnesses. So I'm not, that's not some hearsay. People say, that's because anybody could have read. No, these guys were eyewitnesses. They actually walked with him. They actually walked with him. They know him. They knew him. So, follow the eyewitness. Hallelujah. You'll always be okay. Glory to God. A lot of people saying a lot of stuff. But we have the New Jerusalem. It goes on to tell us what this city's like. And this is the city of God. It does tell us some things about the city. It says there's a stream that flows out of it. And they said from the throne of God. And that stream that says the tree of life grows along the stream. So there's going to be trees down along there. They're going to be growing. And they produce 12 different fruits and that are going to produce off there. And so you can have lunch. You can eat off of the tree of life. That's what Adam could eat off of. Instead, he wanted the one where you couldn't. He got the tree of life to eat out of, and that wasn't good. Like, he likes sin and death much better. Let's get over the sin and death stuff. Let's eat some of that. So, I went to that one. Deception will lead you into anything. Be crazy. And so that's why you don't want to get led into a deception. But it goes on to tell you all the things about this. It's going to be absolutely glorious, but really, it doesn't give us much detail of things about it. There are certain things that I can go over to scriptures. The Old Testament says certain things about heaven and things that were said. But really, we don't have a lot of detail about it. It's one of the things I reason I don't because I've learned this about seeing things in the Spirit and getting caught in the Spirit and things. Because lots of times, we don't have words on this side that you could explain what it was. And if you put it to your words, you'll mess it up. What God has put to word, look what men done with it. They get their little imaginations out. We've had so much imagination about the book of Revelation. There's been so much imagination and people adding. I was just reading, they were talking about why when Israel goes out and why they'll turn around and mark, after the Ezekiel 38 and 39 battle, and they'll go and mark down areas where bones are, and they'll have people come out and get them. And he said, it's because of probably nuclear radiation. They probably had a nuclear war because of all the death. Now, this is what he said. If there's nuclear war in Israel, everybody's going to be contaminated. Not touching bones ain't going to have a thing to do with nothing. The reason they're not going to is because the Jews are going to be following the law, and you don't touch dead bodies. You ought to read the Bible sometime. They're going to get back over practicing the law. That's what the Jews are going to do during the time of the tribulation period, called the 7 years. The Jews are going to get back over and begin to follow the law. And they're going to be practicing what the law says. And you become unclean if you touch a dead body. And so they're going to be, and people get over into these crazy things. But the Jews are going to, that's when they're going to build the temple. They're going to go back over to animal sacrifice. They're going to go back and do those. A lot of Christians think it's really neat. We're going to go to Israel and we want to get in one of these things and go see. They're going to go back on. I ain't going there. We're not doing that. But so instead of going back into the things and trying to, add things to, take things away or whatever, I want to read to you here, and this is concerning the book of Revelation. One of the things is, there's a lot of the book of Revelation we didn't look at. But I would encourage you, is number one, God can't give you revelation on things if you don't spend time to read it. If you don't spend time to read it, just forget it. That's why there's so little revelation about Revelation. is because most ministers never read it. They never preach anything about it, and they'll only, if they only ever do something, they'll use one scripture out of here and sometimes out of context to say what they got to say. And you know, the book of Revelation, it starts out. It says this in the first chapter, in verse 3, says, "Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near." Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy. Do you know why people read this and don't get nothing out of it? Because they don't believe they're blessed. They're going to believe they're blessed when they understand everything. No, when I started reading this, I said, I'm blessed because I'm reading it. And at first, I didn't know much about this thing at all. But I'm blessed. God said I'm blessed. I'm blessed because I'm reading this thing. Glory to God. Well, then we go to chapter 22. We go to the end of it. And there's some just wonderful things said here that'll just, you know, put a curl in your hair if you don't have any. In 22, in verse 18. Now this is John, "For I testify to everyone." He's testifying here to this. In other words, John's heard this thing. "To everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in the book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life." Do you see? God don't believe in once saved, always saved. Christians get into this book and start preaching their stupid stuff. Not a good idea. They're part of the book of life from the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. So, don't mess with the book. Read the book, be blessed. Read the book and let God reveal things to you. Don't add, you know, because so many are trying. You know, some of these people don't think God could call fire out of heaven and burn somebody out. It has to be a nuclear bomb. No, he's talking about a bomb, because it has to be a bomb happen. It has to be a nuclear war happen, because, you know, God couldn't bring fire out of heaven. I guess Elijah was probably better than God, I assume. He could do more than God could do. I mean, we have really, it's just absolute ludicrous. It's crazy. I mean, and we get over the things that God has to use something. It's one of the things is the things that happen supernaturally and take place. And it's really, people have a hard time believing for miracles. They can't only, because we're just so educated and so smart. And to us, we have to take everything within the bounds of our little pea brain, that little thing that's rolling around up there. Did you hear that noise every once in a while? Going, that's that little thing rolling around up there. And we just think, oh, we're just so brilliant. And we have to put everything within the scope of our natural thinking, our natural. And it just robs you out of miracles. It'll take you right out of the miracle place. You can't have one. You can't have one. People who can only think within the natural realm, is that you can't have miracles. Because miracles, they work outside the ordinary course of nature. That's what a miracle is. If it ain't outside your area, of course, you make it. No doctor ever performed a miracle. But see, we say doctors perform miracles. That's why we have a God. He's pretty cheap, too, because doctors can do it. Doctors can do miracles. So, what about God? You know, who's he? We don't even need him. We got our doctors do miracles. See, we'll settle for the natural miracle. That's what we'll settle for, what men can do in the natural. It's a miracle to us because we're just astounded what other people can do because we're so stupid. And so we put God in the same category. He's dumb as us. He probably can't do it. And we don't get over there. I mean, how many people could believe the Red Sea opening today? Most people believe, well, yeah, somebody could build a dam today across that thing. They could do something. They could do that. Yeah, we could do that. So God will probably have a good, you know, bring the army engineers in, and we'll get that dam built across there, and everybody will go on over in dry water. I'll tell you, that's what will happen. We can't believe overnight a wind blew. An east wind blew overnight and parted the sea, and they walked across on dry land. People today, that's all stories. They're just stories. People say, I believe it happened. Well, you do. When you get into trouble, how far can you think to believe God will do a miracle for you? You find out how far you believe it. See, we can say, I believe that in the book. Well, will it happen today? Well, I don't know. You know. People, most Christians today, you know, God, we don't need miracle healings. We don't need the healing of Jesus anymore. God gave us doctors. And see, you get over that thinking. You You turn a place off there, you shut his place off. It says, yeah, we can't go that far. We can have this. I'm going to believe God will use that guy to do this. And what if he don't decide to do that? It's like, you're in trouble. That's why getting ourselves over believing in a miracle God. The defeat of Israel was, as God consistently told them, to remember what he did for them coming, the miracles out of Egypt. And that's exactly what they forgot. And that's the church world today. We don't have a miracle thinking. We don't have it. It's gone. It's gone. It's out of the church. There's no miracle thinking anymore. We don't remember. People don't even... I've talked to a person about a certain thing, a miraculous thing that happened in their life that I knew was around. They had forgotten all about it and said, I didn't remember that anymore. And I thought, no wonder they're messed up. This is why they're messed up. They can't even... They've gotten so far away. They can't even remember what the good things God did for them anymore. Can't even remember. Wow, they've spent all their time living in the flesh, following the flesh. That's all they remember is the flesh anymore. That's all they're full of is the flesh. They can't even remember the miraculous anymore. Can't even remember it happening. I had an individual that I was in his room. The presence of God came in that room. It was so strong. In fact, in my entire Christian life, I'd never have had experience like that before. I'll tell you what, it was just so powerful in that room, the power of God. And this guy was in the room when it took place, and he experienced it. And after a number of years, he didn't remember it even happened. So you get over in your own mind and your own thinking and over in your own stuff. You forget about stuff. To me, the things God has done for me, to me, they're like yesterday. They're like, I could just tell you thing after thing. God did. To me, when I look at him, it's just like, I can remember it is so clear. I don't want to ever go to the point you forget, because you will never have a place of faith for miracles if you forget. You always remember. Is number one, you'll never be thankful or grateful. You'll always be, you know, like the children of Israel. Do another miracle for me. You know, do this one for me. Well, I did the other one for you. Well, so what? Do this one then. You know, don't give us manna. I want leeks. Give me leeks. I want leeks. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to, unless the Lord says anything, we'll go over to something newer. I don't know if I'll go into Ezekiel 38, because that falls at that there falls before the tribulation period. And we could go over, maybe, I don't know if the Lord wants me to go over and teach about that or not. We'll have to find out. I'm just going to do whatever he wants on the thing. Because there's so much in the Old Testament you can go through of things that have been said. Things even that there's other places in the Psalms, that things that were said that were Psalms that have to do with the end times and things. There's so much stuff you could go into Scriptures. And it's amazing to me is because literally there is more said in Scripture about the end times than it does about salvation. Tons more is said about the end times. And the church is really ignorant. We're really ignorant of it. And it's amazing. And that always is, because there's just so much stuff that's been said about things and that stuff. And I know people who have studied this subject for years on end. And I can truthfully say this, I never did that. I have never specifically sat down in any one period of time and do a lot of study in this area. In fact, I wasn't even today. The Lord just spoke to me something. I said about Ezekiel, and he said to me something about it. I went over and read down through. He started talking to me about this thing. And I don't specifically spend a lot of time studying about the end times. And but you get over in the areas of the Spirit, you start hearing what God's saying about it, because we're living in the end times. And then he'll talk to me, and he always talks to me. He'll use Scripture. He'll talk to me about a certain thing. So I'll go over and find out the Scripture. I'll go over and start reading where he's talking about, is doing that. Because there is nothing worse than sitting down and trying to figure this stuff out yourself. That's why there's so many different ways that people have. When I started out and I said, Lord, Lord, I got 20 different ways that you're coming. And he spoke to me clearly and said, yeah, 19 of them are wrong. But how do they get wrong by it? Because men sat down and tried to figure all this stuff out. I believe in studying the Bible, but I don't believe in studying the Bible without the Holy Spirit. There's a big difference. than me just sitting down and trying to come up with trying to figure things out. I've learned it over time. As I just wait, I'll ask God things and I'll wait for Him to start to talk to me about it. And then, you know, the Holy Ghost will start saying things and bringing things to me. Then I go over and I start reading them. It gets all that thing out of this. Isn't Ed's mind in here involved in this thing? My mind is getting renewed, not trying to figure it out. Ain't nothing worse than trying to figure it out, sitting down. I mean, there's things that I sit down and I read through and it just don't add up to me. And I just say, Lord, you're going to have to get this thing to add up. It's like to me, I don't try to figure it out. That's just where people get into their error, is they trying to figure it out. We don't figure it out. We have the Holy Spirit in us as the teacher. He's the one you yield to begin to teach you, to show you what fits where, what belongs in what spot, what's God saying. We got to learn to use that. We don't do that much. We're mostly mental studiers. We're mostly mental, you know. Most of us are mental. That's what's wrong with us. No, but I'm saying, we use our natural thinking. Understand, the Bible's a spiritual book. The Lord says it's spiritually understood. That's what it says. Don't say it's mentally understood. It's not. It's not a mental book. And so, get over the things. Learn to listen on the inside. When the Holy Ghost is teaching, learn to know when He's not. When I was a younger Christian, I'd get over and get some ideas and things, and then I found out later, oh, the Holy Ghost wasn't teaching, I was doing it. I was teaching, but the Holy Ghost wasn't. And getting over to let the Holy Ghost begin to teach me, allow Him to start to show me things, rather than me just trying to figure things out. Because sometimes people do that. They say, well, this scripture says this and that. Well, I don't understand. How does this... Hey... I found a long thing. Lots of times when you just get away from something, you say, hey, sit there, mess with it. No, Lord, there's a sense to this thing. I just ain't got it yet. I don't have it. You know, because God is never confusing. The only one that's been, I've been confused already. But God has never been confused. And so what I do is give God time. Give God time to reveal things to you, show you things. Don't read things in the Bible. You know, I don't, you know, the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation, talks about horses and shooting arrows and all that. Look, they're talking in the language of their day. That's what they're talking. They're revealing of the language of their day. You know, they didn't say there was an ATV running over there and this guy here was in an Abrams tank and he was... They're talking about their prophecy. And understand, their prophecies are coming forward in their day, prophesying to people of their day. And then people turn around and start... I've heard Christians talk about it. Yeah, the Russians are building all these wooden, you know, tanks and stuff. They're made out of this real strong wood. And it's... Here's a guy... That means it's even written in books. People put it... Talking about, yeah, they have all these horses they're getting ready for the Armageddon. They were talking about this stuff. I mean, Christian, I'm serious. They wrote books about it. In other words, they had books this thick that they wrote. People loved them, went and bought them and all that stuff. And they aren't even fit for toilet paper because the paper ain't even good. <It's> like, and people bought all this stuff and they read it and went after it. You know? Because they get their minds into things about how things are supposed to be. And it's like, oh, God will reveal it to us if we let Him. Hallelujah. Because no, you should never read any of these things. If they bring fear to you, you're operating in a wrong spirit. It should never make you afraid. Revelation is a letter to the church to bless you. That's what it's for. It's a letter to the church. And if anybody teaches in a way that makes you feel like, wow, man, I'm going to go hide under a rock somewhere, they missed it. Because that isn't what it is. It's to bless you. I could sit down and read Revelation and say, thank God I ain't going to be in that junk. Glory to God. I'm following Jesus today. Hallelujah. I want to walk with Jesus today. I don't want to be over there in that. That's why it's a blessing. If I have to go through that, is that a blessing? No. I'm going to leave when the first bus goes. I'm not going to wait. I ain't going to wait for the tribulation resurrection, okay? So, you guys see me leave, get on the same bus. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank You that You're so good to us. Father, so merciful and kind, and surely You have been. Lord, we've done a lot of strange and weird things with your word, but I'm going to thank you. Father, these are the days that you're bringing revelation forth. These are the days that you're talking. Lord God, you're restoring hope to the church again. Lord, you're bringing confidence back to us again. Lord God, Father, you have wonderful and glorious plans for our future. And I just want to thank you, Lord. Lord, our great desire is to follow you now and to walk with you and do your will. Because, Lord God, what you have planned is so marvelous and so great. Father, we don't want to do anything to interrupt that. Hallelujah. We want to walk in the glory that you prepared for us before the foundation of the world. Lord God, we set ourselves, whatever you desire for us to do and walk in these days, whatever job you've given us to carry out, Lord God, we just want to pick it up and do it. Father God, we want to walk with you. Lord God, not some of the time. We don't want you to have to carry us. We want to walk along with you. We want to be workers together, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, we want to be ones that you can trust, Lord God, that you can give us your anointing. And Lord God, and we'll walk and use your word wisely, hallelujah, in these days. Lord God, because our great desire is that Jesus be glorified. Because, Lord, we want, as Kenneth Hagin prophesied and said, there's going to be hordes and hordes of people come into the kingdom. Lord God, we want hordes and hordes of people coming in the kingdom. There's so many people messed up today. And Lord God, Lord, we don't want to leave alone. We want to leave with a crowd, hallelujah, with a multitude. And we thank you, Father God, that we will, in Jesus' name, amen.